Book of Acts, Acts chapter number 20. Of course, this is Paul's farewell address. Go ahead and stand with me once you find your place, if you're able. Acts 20. And we're about to finish this up. This is one of the longer chapters next to Stephen's of being stoned, where you get one person talking continuously. And this is Paul with his farewell speech to the elders at Ephesus. And we are in verses 29, 30, and 31. And so we'll go ahead and read those verses tonight, knock those off, and then we'll be done for the night. Acts 20, and start reading with me verse 29. Let's put 28 in here because that's where it all started at, amen. And so read with me from 28 down to 31. Here we go. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Father, help us as we look at Paul's pleading to the brethren at Ephesus and pouring his heart out to them, knowing that he would see their faces no more, knowing the dangers that they will fall prey to. And Lord, knowing the dangers that every local congregation would fall prey to as well. Lord, we're not immune to these same things and these same temptations that will come our way. Lord, help us to gird up our loins and to stand fast, Lord, to know what we ought to do as well in regards to the warnings being put out to the elders at Ephesus. Lord, help us to be vigilant in all that we do and all that we think and all that we say. Lord, that you will receive glory and praise through the church. God, help us not to be nonchalant in knowing that there are predators, grievous wolves that want to enter in among the church, Lord, and do damage and do hurt to the things of God. And Lord, also Satan will send in emissaries as well that will plant themselves and propagate themselves as men and women of God that truly, really are not, but are hurtful to the cause of Christ. Help us to be aware and leery of those. But Lord, do the work of the ministry, loving you and praising you. And Lord, help us tonight to glean a blessing from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we're going through this study, of course, Paul here is on his missionary journey. This is his third missionary journey here that started back in Acts chapter 18. He's come down past Greece, and now he's talking to the elders here from the Ephesus area. He's calling them down to him to warn them. And we mentioned to you like this, if your child is about to go off to college, Antoinette was going out to get her own apartment, moving out from mom. And I'm sure mom had prepared her for that time, told her, hey, watch out for this. Don't buy any vacuum cleaners from the salesman. You probably don't even sell vacuum cleaners anymore, do they, amen? You bought a bad one. Amen. Peddlers will come to your door, amen. And so you can't just open up the door to everybody that comes by. Some people mean you hurt, and our parents tell us to watch out for things like that. They tell you when you go to school to watch out for certain characteristics and certain traits from certain people, and they want to help us out. Paul here, knowing, being a man of God, knowing what damage has come already to ministries that he started, says, look, I want to help you guys out. As you go back to your respective areas of ministry, there are going to be some people coming into your ministry, but there are going to be some people already in your ministry that's going to do hurt. He said, you got to watch out for them and be careful for them. And that's the scene that's going on here. Paul is saying, you know, we need awareness. We need vigilance from the sheep because there are strong wolves in sheep clothing. And I mentioned this, one of the most dangerous things about a wolf in sheep's clothing is that they look like a sheep. They bad like a sheep. They have wool like a sheep. But underneath, they are ravening wolves, Jesus said. He said, by their fruits, you will know them. And so, by the way, aren't there some young people out there that really look good, but underneath, they're just as wicked as the devil, amen? And they want to get a hold of our young people. They look good, they smell good, they walk good, and they talk good. But they are up to no good, amen? Sometimes some of the ones that you least expect I mean, they're the boy next door. And the demon from hell, amen, they are just wicked. And you've got to watch out because they know how to play the game. By the way, some of my buddies that I knew when I first met them, I thought, man, they're just the nicest guy. Yes, Mrs. Dawson. Yes, ma'am. And then they got out of my mother's sight and was wicked. I thought, whoa. What was that? Was that a front you just put on? Well, you know, you're supposed to talk that way to elders and adults. And well, yes, but you don't talk like a devil when you get out of their presence. And so I know they would talk sweet to my mom. My mom said, oh, they're just the nicest boy. I said, No, they're not. And then some people, I mean, certain girls, my mom said, now, boy, stay away from her. She's fresh. Boy, she fast. You better stay away from her. And I'm looking at her like, she look okay to me. What's wrong with a boy? You don't know girls like I know them. Okay. Hey, man, I listen to you, mom. She said, stay away from that one. Stay away from that one. Stay away from that one. That one's okay. That one's okay. She made Carmen sit marry her. Not just in 5 years, though. Amen. We married right away. Amen. Hey, we're good judges of character all the time. Paul here, being a man of God, planting a church, had seen a lot of things, and he is warning of the elders. When you go back, make sure, verse 28, he said, you got to take heed to feed the flock. Give them the nourishment that they need. He said, you got to make sure you're the type of overseer you need to be. Jesus Christ purchased this with his own blood. He said, because in verse 29, I know something. He said, there's going to be some grievous wolves. They're going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, so you need to take care. So we mentioned this point. Paul is warning them because of the moderate damage from without in verse 29. He said, I know this. These after my departing, they're going to come. By the way, he said, I know it's going to happen. By the way, when your children get out there, there's certain things that you know are going to happen to them. You just know it's going to happen. Now, they don't have to be a victim if they listen to you. But if they don't listen to you, what will they be oftentimes? A victim and a casualty. Amen. Paul is warning them off because he said, look, I know what's going to happen. After my departing, they're going to enter in among you. By the way, we read the scriptures in Timothy where it had already happened. And we read those last week. Amen. Now, Paul is saying, as they're going to enter in among you, they're not going to spare the flock. They're going to seek to destroy the church. And so now we're going to look at verse 30. Paul gave the precautions because not only of the moderate danger from without, but the maximum danger from within. The maximum danger from within. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Notice verse 30 again. Also of your own selves. He said, these are going to be people that have joined up with you. They have grouped up with you. He says, shall men arise, speaking perverse things, crooked things, he said, to draw away disciples after them. Interesting that he says that, amen. By the way, you know, if you look at this, there's going to be some people that will try to challenge our children to go against their parents' authority. Happens all the time. Man, we can do that. But my mama said we shouldn't do that. Oh, man, your mother don't know what she's talking about. And I heard that so many times. Man, what your mother don't know ain't gonna hurt her. I heard that so many times. And every time I was foolish enough to fall for it, guess what? It happened just like my mother said, and I was in trouble. And guess who didn't get in trouble? The knuckleheads that talked me into the foolishness. They got to go home to their parents, didn't care anything about them, and didn't tell them what was right. I go home to my mother who loved me and beat me. No, she didn't comb my head this time, amen. She did some other things to me to get me right, amen. But it always happens that way, amen. So when you're looking at this, you know, you can have some people. By the way, this can happen in homes as well. You can get a brother, an older brother, or an older sister can undermine the parents' authority. And say, oh, I don't listen to mom and dad. I know better. And guess what? That other brother, that other sister, there's an older brother, so they might listen to her. Maybe the younger brother or sister challenged the older brother and say, don't listen to mom and dad. I did it last time. You can do it this time. Hey, is that not what happened over there with Lot? What happened? The older sister went in there and made her father drunk, and then she told the younger sister, hey, I did it yesterday. We can do this thing. Hey, that's sin. That's wickedness. Amen. Don't ever be a part of that, young people. If your parents have set some authority and some standards, obey the authority and the standards that the parents have set. Amen. Because it can happen. You can have the parents just as righteous as all together of the Bible, but then some children in the house can say, we don't have to listen to that. And they can begin to assert themselves as the authority. I'm the elder brother. I'm the elder sister. I know better than mom and dad. Amen. Some of y'all might have had a brother or sister like that. One of y'all might have been a brother or sister like that. I hope not. Amen. I didn't have any brothers. I just had my younger sister. She was 7 years younger than I was. She told my children all the dirt that I did to her. And when we went home this time, I thought, I was not that cruel to you. I was a kind brother. I was a compassionate brother. I was a... What's that? Okay, brother? Well, no, I was a manipulative brother because I had 7 years on her. So I know the tricks of the trade. And her and I shared rooms. And I wanted a clean room. I had OCD. She did not have OCD. And so I would play tricks on her. If you don't keep a clean room, I'm going to hide your doll. And I'm going to destroy her. And you'll never see her again. I said, now, everything on this side of the room belongs to me. And it's going to stay nice and neat. Everything on this side of the room also belongs to me. She said, but Mom let me sleep over there. Mom just lets you sleep here. But Mom knows this is my room. Am I not the only boy? Mom gave me this room, but she asked me to let you sleep in this room. Out of the kindness of my heart, I'm letting you sleep here. So everything on that side belongs to me. Everything on this side belongs to me. And if you don't keep it that way, your doll is going to meet just a disastrous fate. Now, you can do what you want to do, but, you know, Mom, she told me to make sure everything happened all right. And I would leave. She's like, I said, oh, that's okay. I'm a kind brother. I would never do anything like that as long as you keep my room clean. So I know children can undermine parental authority. My sister didn't know that that wasn't true till late, way later. And then she found out Greg said this. I said nothing of the sort. Mom, what are you going to believe? The only son that you had? Or this child who's 7 years younger than me? Halo over my head. Ding! Olivia. Then after we got away, yeah, Mom, I was guilty. Boy! So what can I say? Hey, children can do that. Some of y'all was probably manipulative to your brothers or sisters. You know how it is. Parents set the authority, amen? And you came back and said, now, let me instill my rules. This is the way it's going to be. Paul knows that inside the church, that same thing can happen. He's letting the Ephesian brethren know what to expect. And to expect men or women within the congregation to attempt to get a following after themselves. Amen. Hey, by the way, did not Jezebel do that with Ahab? I mean, she ruled that thing. She told him what to do, how to do it. Amen. There can also be men that are led by their wives, just like Jezebel led Ahab. Ahab really wasn't running the show. Jezebel was running the show. Amen. And so it can happen both ways. Men can prop themselves up out of pride or prosperity, or wives can say, you don't have to listen to that. You put your pants on the same way the preacher does. Amen. We don't have to obey that. This is what I would do if I were you. Oh, boy. Don't go there. Don't go there. Amen. More churches have been ruined by men that have listened to their wives. I have nothing against wives. Nothing against wives. But I'm just saying, when a man listens to his wife and not the word of God, he is destined for trouble. Now, granted, they should submit one to another. Praise God. They should. They should work together. But at the end of the day, the man has got to get the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I was just reading recently, more churches have been decimated by people's preferences over doctrinal concerns. That's tragic. That's tragic. Personality conflicts and personality clashes because I don't like to sit on that side and somebody's got my seat. Well, la-di-da. Well, I don't like the walls white. I want them green. Well, la-di-da. Brother, I ever heard of a church one time that split over toilet paper. Over toilet paper. Should it flow this way or should it flow that way? Long as it flows when I got to use it, amen. Now, I do have my preference, but I'm not going to split the church over it, amen. More churches have split over preferences instead of doctrinal. He said, look, I'm warning you, these individuals will be members, but they will speak perverse, crooked things, distracted doctrines. They're going to come in there and they're going to have all sorts of things that are just wicked. I had the same thing happen in Belgium. Sometimes a pastor would go and I'm there. People would come to me and ask me to do things that they know pastor would not want done. But because I was in charge, they said, well, we couldn't get away whilst he was here. But now that you're there. I said, so wait a minute. Now, you wouldn't ask this whilst he was here. He just left last week. Now, why didn't you ask this last Sunday? Well, we knew he was going to say no. And I'm supposed to say yes. Well, you know, if you saw it like we saw it, oh, now it's we. It's not just you. Now it's we. Yeah. They come with a group, with an entourage, amen? So you got to be careful, amen? People would come and with all kind of foolish ideas, and it's not. Hear me now. The devil can do more damage from within than without the membership. Why is that true? Why can the devil do more damage from within the membership than without the membership? Why is that? Anybody, any clues, Joshua? Joshua hit the nail on the head. You trust people within your fellowship to believe and to think like you do. Now, if somebody's going to come from outside, you already suspect on them, amen? They come in with an agenda, but if they're here supporting things of God, you're never going to suspect them. So it's always more danger for the devil to do from within the membership than without the membership, because people inside the membership are often trusted more than from the outside. Hence, they often have the hearts of the people and their sympathies on a cause or a matter, especially when they are in leadership positions or possess biblical knowledge. They seem to be a leader, and pastors got them in this spot, and so they must be able to be trusted. Oh, they have biblical knowledge, and so I must be able to trust them. Not always. Pastors make mistakes too. Leaders make mistakes too. Hey, we're not above the law. And sometimes we can appoint people in some positions. I was talking to a preacher when I was on vacation. He said, you know, I had to get rid of a certain individual within his staff. And I said, what happened? He said, well, he wasn't doing what I asked him to do. I said, what'd you ask him to do? He said, this. I said, well, that's reasonable. He said, but he didn't want to do it. He had his own idea of what he wanted to do. He said, I had to get rid of it. And it broke his heart because he knew it was going to damage the church. Why? Because people looked up to him because he was a fellow leader in the church. And because he didn't want to follow the pastor's leadership, pastor, I got to let you go. God let you go. He said, it really hurt the church. And it happens. Pastors make mistakes too. Amen. Hey, remember Judas Iscariot? Did anybody suspect Judas Iscariot? Not until the very end. Jesus said, what you got to do, do it quickly. And they thought, well, he's got the money, so he must be buying something for the feast. He got the bag. Amen. No one suspected him. Amen. Go back to the Old Testament as well. Amnon. Amnon had a what? A friend. Amnon had a friend. His friend gave him some bad advice, and his friend came from within. Absalom's revolt came from, David had his son revolted. Where did it come from? From within as a son. Many of the kings that lost their lives over in the kings, where did they get their lives lost from oftentimes? People from within the kingdom. What am I saying here? The devil can do more damage from within the ministry than he ever can do from outside. We go on and on about maximum dangers from within, but it has been well said, Satan never destroys the church from the outside in. He always destroys the church from the inside out. Folks, believe it. It's true. I've seen it time and time again. From the pastor on down to the church member, amen, it's happened. Adam Clark's commentary states verse 30 like this, also of your own selves means from out of your own assembly shall men arise speaking perverse things, teaching for truth that which is erroneous in and of itself, and it is perverse of the genuine doctrine of Christ. And by the way, entire congregations have been affected and diminished because of that. You get a faulty a truth, and you get people to follow that faulty truth, and there goes the church. Whether it's on the purity of Christ or the virgin birth of Christ or salvation or baptism saves, speaking in tongues, you list it, and somebody starts following, and you get a group, and there we go. Well, the pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, Paul is warning them, hey, this is going to happen. People within your church, on the missions field, this is a chief concern during furloughs, and it happens here in America too. One of our missionaries that I know left the field for a furlough. And whilst he was gone for a furlough, another missionary was supposed to watch the flock. that missionary told them that this missionary did not love them and didn't care for them. That's why he went back to America. The missionary came back to his flock and found nobody there. Because the missionary told the flock that it, and all the flock went over to his church. And the very missionary that was supposed to be watching the flock went there and fleeced the flock and stole the entire flock. And gave the missionary just a lot of psychological problems. He began to second guess, was I not supposed to be here? What happened? What did not do right? What he did wrong was he left that shyster in charge. That's what he did. He left that Judas Iscariot, but he didn't know it. That's what I'm saying. We preachers make mistakes too. We can put people in leadership positions that don't have our best interests. Why? They can talk good. They play the game. And sometimes you don't know until it's too late. You ever had your child mixed up with a bad person that you knew was bad? You thought was good. And then down the road, you found out they were bad. And you feel like a bad parent. You say, man, they looked like they were promising. They looked like they were, you know, and look what they turned out. Look what my child is now because I let them hang out with this person because I sanctioned this and I thought it was okay. Hey, it happens. It happens. Hey, from within. That's why it behooves us to have the mission, the Ephesian mentality. Go back over to Revelation chapter 2. What were they warned about? Revelation chapter number 2. It behooves us to have this mentality that Paul is giving here. Revelation chapter number 2. And we went over this in our study here as we're studying the churches. Revelation chapter 2, notice verse number 1. Now, this is the same group of people, not the same exact group, but this is the area that's being preached to. Chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. What do you say? I know thy works. He said, of you Ephesian churches, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And notice this, how thou canst not bear them which are what? Evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are what? Apostles. And what? And are not. And has found them what? Liars. What else have you done? And has borne and has patience and for my namesake has labored and has not fainted. He said, you Ephesian folks, I know these are things that you have done. Now, of course, there's some things that they messed up on as well down there in verses 4 and 5. But he said, you did something. You tried people. You tested them. You held them to the standard to make sure they were what they said they were. And some you found straight up liars. Amen. And sometimes when it comes to the church, we've got to be this way. But you know what we've got to remember? Verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast what? Left thy first love. Anytime you have a positional stand like that and you leave Jesus' love out, you're going to fall. You've got to have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ have that stand? Yes, he did. Did he fight against foolishness? Yes, he did. Did he put up with junk? No, he didn't. But he had the love that makes it all come together. Now, there were some people that didn't like him. But guess what? He still had the love. You and I sometimes, we leave the love out there and say, I'll give you something for your lips, amen. And get a bat for you, amen. Don't come in my church with that foolishness. Get on out of there. And we can't be like that. Sometimes we want to, don't we, Brother Neil? Amen. We want to. You know, don't bring that junk in here. No, just keep preaching the word. Junk will go, amen. Now, sometimes you may have to go toe-to-toe, amen, with somebody just to rebuke them, amen. But it's got to be biblical. It's got to be biblical, amen. And so he warned them about that. Now, if we're not careful, we can end up like Diotrephes. Go over to 2 John, or 3 John. 3 John, go back one book. If we're not careful, we can end up like Diotrephes. Diotrephes had the Ephesian mentality to the hilt. 3 John, and notice verse number 1. Is it 3 John? Did I want? Where is that? 1, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This is the Apostle John. He said, look, I wrote, and he didn't want to receive me. Now, if he's going to receive anybody, you should receive John. Yes, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. That's how we don't want to be. Amen. We want to have the discretion and the discernment that Paul is calling for, but at the same time, we've got to be careful or we will become a Diotrephes, amen? We've got to have that Ephesian mentality, make sure we test people, impress them, and make sure, hey, do you believe like we believe when it comes to the book, amen? Because we don't want crooked teachers and crooked leaders leading people astray, amen? So we've got to have discernment and wisdom, but we cannot be like Diotrephes, amen? And you got to be careful to have the Ephesian stand with Christ's love, amen. They go hand in hand, amen. So go back to Acts chapter number 20. So he's warning them. Acts chapter 20. So he says, I know this, after my departing, grievous wolves going to enter among you, not sparing your flock. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. By the way, these type of men and women that are pictured here in verse number 30, he says, of your own selves shall men arise, amen. They are not led of the Holy Spirit of God. They're often under in the influence of personal ambition and personal goals. I want a following. I want somebody to like me. I want somebody to see the way I see it. Well, how about if you see things wrong? You ever consider that? Amen. You know, the little friends that our children are going to play with, they want people to see it their way. Well, what if they see it wrong? You ever consider that? Amen. Well, no, I couldn't be wrong. So-and-so told me. And that makes it right. Because so-and-so told me. Well, they got a lot of People magazine, so I know it's right. Sure, it wasn't the National Enquirer. Amen. Hey, they can also be in it for love of popularity, power, position. These men love to discredit and downplay the man of God. Give you a big caution. Anytime people downplay and try to discredit the man of God, watch out for them. I don't care who they are. I don't care who it is. If they downplay and discredit the man of God and his wife, you better watch them. Watch them. You say, but I trust them. They're in a fellowship. That's what Paul said. He said, they're going to rise out of your own fellowship, speaking perverse things. When they began to speak against the very one who's responsible for feeding you, watch out. That's like the child over there. Well, where are you going? I'm going home. Well, I wouldn't eat your mother's food if I was you. That's the hand that's going to feed you. So you're going to listen to someone who says, don't let your mother feed you. I wouldn't eat that food if I was you. No, you better watch out. Anybody that discredits and downplays the man of God and his wife and watch out. He said, it's going to happen. Paul said, hey, look, I'm letting you know it's going to happen. They seek to draw men after themselves because they covet the praise of men rather than the approval of God. Amen. They also bring about divisions in the church. They disturb its peace and hinder the spiritual growth and prosperity of the entire congregation. It happens, folks. Again, Satan knows the best way to destroy a church is from within the church itself. Outside, if we see somebody coming in, we're going to watch out for them. But inside the family, we would never expect that inside the family. Never, never. No more than Faith would expect G2 to do something damaging against her. Or Joshua, hey, this is my sister, this is my brother. They wouldn't do that to me. They love me. Hey, Paul says it's going to happen. Paul says down there, therefore, watch and remember. And by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He said, now I'm giving you all this pep talk. I'm giving you all this information. I'm letting you know how my ministry was. I'm letting you know to take heed. There's some moderate danger from without the ministry. He said, but there's some maximum danger that can come from within the ministry. And all you have to do is go back through time historically in the Bible and find out all the kings that were plotted against from within their own kingdom. Amen. Hey, y'all just read through Esther. What happened? Haman's going to try and get rid of Mordecai. Mordecai's in, they were on the same team, even though they were different nationalities. Mordecai was working for the king Ahasuerus, just like he was. They were working together. Remember Daniel? When the guy said, well, there's somebody in here that's, they're praying to a different God. They were all working together. But guess what? They turned. He said, from within. They're examples biblically. So Paul said, hey, therefore watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone. He says, night and day with tears. Paul gives the final reminder to be watchful of the spiritual threats without and within the ministry of their respective places where they're going to go. Go to 1 Peter, because Peter gives his version of this in chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter number 5. And notice what Peter says here as he's writing to the group of Christians that are suffering here in chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then he says this, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a what? A roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, if he can't get you as the lamb in disguise, he says, I'll just come as a roaring lion. He says, he's seeking whom he may devour. What is verse 9? What is Peter's encouragement? Just like Paul's. Whom resist where? Steadfast in the faith. When someone comes to you with something damaging about your pastor or your pastor's wife or someone in your ministry, resist. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. What does the Bible say? Let's love one another. Let's do what God says. How would you like it if they talked about you like that? Let's love one another. Who resists? You got to resist that. Why? The church is always going to be destroyed from within. Never from without. Never from without. It's always from within. That's how the devil operates. He gets one disgruntled person, sows a seed there, and then they germinate someone else with that same seed, who germinates someone else with that seed. Now, several are infected already. There are certain communicable diseases that we have that if you touch someone else that has it, guess what? You get it. My brother-in-law, we went back, he had poison ivy all on his arms and stuff. And I went up to give him a hug. He said, Greg, no, don't hug me. I'm contagious. And I looked, and I was like, yeah, you are. And it looked pretty bad, too, man. It was all swollen up and yucky looking. I'm thinking, there are other things that you can get. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to play outside. And I used to get lice and tetters and ringworms and all. I used to get all that stuff. My mother said, boy, get away from everybody. Wash all your stuff. You stay over there like the boy in the bubble. Yeah, I come home with all that stuff. She said, don't touch nobody. Get over there. Nobody use his brush. Don't use his comb. And when I had some hair, amen. Why? She knew I could infect other people. Hey, in the church, it's the same way. You can infect somebody else. Paul said, I know that. Peter said, I know that. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith? He says, down there, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Go back to Acts chapter 20 as we close now. He says, therefore, in verse number 31 of Acts chapter 20 refers to what he has already said in the previous verses of 28, 29, and 30 of the things that we need to take heed to. Therefore, watch has the idea of keeping awake, being vigilant, and being awake. I like this word watch because it is from the Greek word Gregorio. And guess what that means? Greg. That's my name. That's my name in Greek. Gregorio. It means to be watchful, to be vigilant. That's my name. My wife, bless her heart, she said, whenever you come around, you always find stuff. And I was in the kitchen, and I found some butter that had fallen out of the refrigerator and slid up under the counter there. Nobody saw it. And I said, oh, there's some butter. She said, how come you always come up and find stuff like that? I try to pick up everything. You always got to find some. I'm sorry. I run out of the kitchen. I said, I can't help it. It's in my name. It's my blood. I'm vigilant. I'm watchful. I see this kind of stuff. I'm not trying to see it. I just see it. It jumps out and says, I'm butter. Somebody left me out, and I'm about to melt all over the floor, and you're going to clean me up. No. I can't help it. It's in my blood. Amen. The word watch there, it means keep awake, be vigilant. It's Gregorio, and it is the Greek form for Greg, amen? He says, remember, it means to exercise your memory, recollect, also to rehearse or make mention or be mindful of some things. He says, remember. He says, therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with what? With tears. Much like we would do with our children. When I first went away to college, my parents, they were crying when they pulled off. I was crying. I'm thinking, I'm not going to see them anymore. Well, I remember everything they said. They told me about all the bad people that's going to be around. Amen. So guess what? As soon as they left, I'm like, all y'all bad people. My mother and father ain't here. Y'all all bad. It's just me against the world. Guess I can go to class tomorrow. I can trust my teacher. He might be bad, too. I had that. I'm watching everybody, yo. Hey, what's your name? What's in it for you? Hey, I wasn't playing. I'm like, look, my mother told me that stuff for a reason. I wasn't playing around. I had my buddy that went to college, that went to high school. We played football. He went there. I could, thought I could trust him. Amen. Then he tried to hit on my wife. I'm like, get off my wife. That's my girlfriend. Amen. But anyway, I was suspect on everybody. Paul is saying, remember what you were told. Remember how you were trained and remember what you should do, much like we would do with our children. Remember what you were told. Remember how you were trained. Remember what you should do. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. What is the catchphrase from back in the days? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Peter, Paul saying, look, I didn't give you everything I could. I spent 3 years here. I warned you. I gave you 2 years. I told you it's going to come from within, from without. People are going to try it. He's on, but you know, they're going to come from within. It's going to happen. And by the way, we read in Timothy, it happened just like he said. And so then they put up the iron gate, and then John had to write to him and said, no, you got the standard going to your first love. Peter said, hey, look, resist steadfast in the faith. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. As Paul begins to close here, we'll pick up with this next week. He says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And he's going to go into his final parting words of his ministry and what he's about to tell them. But he's pouring his heart out to them because he knows he'll never see them again. You know, we as preachers, we get up and we preach. We don't know who we're going to see from 1 week to the next. We try to pour our hearts out because we may never see you again. You know, we may never see the children again. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. I may not be here. How many of y'all remember Brother Gary Tyler? He was a missionary that came with his family. A while back before we left, the girl was running barefoot outside. Sunshine was her name. At the tail end of their trip, before he went back to Brazil, he had a heart attack. Brother, you know about that. Amen. He wrote to me. He said, hey, look, after we left you, we were going here and blah, blah, blah. And he said, I didn't feel well. He said, I was having a heart attack. Now, he's back in Brazil now, but we don't know who's going to be here from 1 week to the next. We really don't. And so Paul said, it behooves us to pour our hearts out. And I'm letting you know, because I'm not going to see you anymore, that you need to watch out. It can come from without as a moderate danger, but then it can come from within as a maximum danger. And you've got to make sure you're watching and you're remembering. And the 3 years that I spent with you, take heed. Hey, when I went to college, I had to think about all the things my mother had told me and kind of capsulize it all and say, okay, I've got to remember, what did she tell me about this? And what did she tell me about that? And what did she warn me about this? And what did my dad tell me about this? And what did grandma tell me about this? And what did granddad say about this? And had to put all that stuff into practice. I didn't have the luxury of having the Bible at that time as a saved person. But guess what? We have the luxury of having the Bible. We've got the luxury of having the Spirit of God. We have the luxury of having people that love us and that care about us trying to get us to get in the Bible to get the understanding so that we don't have to be bamboozled. We don't have to be fooled. Amen. Why? There are people from without and there are people from within that can do us danger. Some on purpose, some by accident. But nonetheless, it can happen. Amen. It can happen. Hey, we've got to remember, you think about all the young children out there that had children out of wedlock that was an accident. It didn't need to happen. If they would have just listened to the authorities, they said, hey, look, this is what the Bible says. But instead, guess what happened? Danger. We've got to watch out. Remember what we were told biblically. Remember how we were trained biblically. And remember what we should do biblically. Don't let Satan steal from you what God is trying to do in your life and what he's trying to do in local church. Paul had every bit of confidence knowing that as soon as he left, this would happen. But hopefully the casualties would be less because somebody listened. Amen. Hey, let the casualties be less among us because we're listening. Amen. And do what God is calling us to do. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for Paul's warning to the church. And Lord, just the opportunity he had to share his heart with this group of believers. And God, I know that it is inevitable that we're going to have people that will be from without trying to do damage. Lord, we know it's inevitable. There will be those that will be from within to do some maximum danger and damage. And Lord, sometimes it'll be by accident. Sometimes it'll be on purpose. And Lord, we've got to be ready for those dangers when they come, as Paul warned. Help us as parents to train our children about dangers that are within the home and then dangers outside the home. But it helps us as pastors and leaders and teachers to warn students and men and women that there are dangers without and dangers within. And we've got to keep our loyalties with the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the house of God. And we've got to be vigilant and watchful and remember what's been told to us, that the Word of God may continue to go out and continue to be successful. But we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know he's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. We know that he'll come in as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He'll be grievous in his approach. Lord, our job is to stand firm and to stand in the faith and to have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help each and every one of us do our part to go to our jobs tomorrow, to be aware of those without. As we go to our home, be aware of those within. As we come into our church, be aware of those that are without. As we come into our church, those that are within, help us to walk in love and with the Lord Jesus Christ and understand the biblical truths that we can stand and watch. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us tonight, Lord. Help us as we do our debt level best to resist and submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil, knowing he will flee from us and we stand true to thee. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around just for a moment. Just think about someone maybe that you need to pray for that could be in harm's way, someone that could be in danger. Maybe it's from without, maybe it's from within. Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's in this church, maybe it's at your job, maybe it's with a relative. I want to just take a quiet moment and pray for that individual who may be in danger. Why don't you make sure that you tell God, Lord, I want to be an example of a believer for that person. Because the dangers are within, and the dangers are without. It can be amongst us. It can be outside. It can be anywhere. In the quiet of your own heart, just ask the Lord, Lord, help that person. Help this person. Lord, help me. Help me to watch. Help me to be vigilant. Help me to remember that there is a battle. It's for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And Satan wants to use those people against the gospel and against my church. Paul said, therefore, watch, remember. He said, I know it's going to happen. Maybe it's a husband you need to pray for. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a church member. Maybe it's an aunt. Maybe it's an uncle. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a boss. But you need to pray for that person. There's some dangers seeking to take them down. Paul said, watch. Remember. Father, thank you that we can be warned. Help each and every one of us, Lord, to be vigilant in what we do. Armed with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed with the armor of God, walking in the Spirit, and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Obeying the leadership of the Holy Spirit and following the pastor in the local church and doing that which you have called us to do. These elders went back to their respective churches. Lord, we know some didn't quite fare as well as others. Help us, Lord, to do our dead level best in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Wise is going to come.